Oh, I was just thinking about a bit of an essay, or it's more fictionalized, but I remember sitting with Lisa at a Dion's, and we were sitting there and across from each other, and I don't know what made it come to mind, except there's got to be something to talk about that's more interesting than, I don't know, me talking about my problems or work or something dumb like that. Listening this morning to a Japanese general authority. And I'm 70, and he is talking about patriarchal blessings. It was just a wonderfully simple talk, told a little bit about when he was young and he got his patriarchal blessing. He joined the church apparently when he was 19, and he gave a little bit of instruction. But it was a story, and then talked about, several things, I guess. Mostly around the theme of patriarchal lift. Anyway, so, I guess it brought to mind my old thing about the central importance in this life. The central ordinance is baptism, taking upon yourself the path of Jesus Christ. Now, I've talked a lot about, and I decided that maybe it would be useful to call it God's agenda. Because it really is his agenda. It's what he's trying to get all of us to do. And it's mostly doing what basically following in his path. Coming into the family business. Wanting to become like him. That's what Christ did. Of course, he did some of the mechanics of helping us do that. Very important, the atonement and all those things. Oh. I tell ya. Anyway, so I picture two turnstiles and a desk with a computer on it. Such as it is, I guess it could be a tablet too. It doesn't matter really. And there's this lady there, and she is okay. She isn't really, you don't think of kind of the nasty school marm sort of person who's trying to straighten you out. I kind of picture I'm thinking in my mind, Kay Truesdale. A nice person, but business. She's about the business. And I respect that. Anyway, so there's a lady like that sitting there with some kind of instrument in order to look something up. (Clears throat) it's kind of like the card readers. When I go to work every day, of course, it's high security. So you have to have a badge that's got a little RFID antenna in it. And you got to, you know, type in your code, and then you go through. And this is like just right after death, I guess. And it's where you're going to go. In my view of it, I think it's informed by scripture and God and my own thoughts on the subject. Whether you're going to go to paradise or prison, heaven or hell, at the very beginning. And, you know, people go, well, somebody's up there going to judge it. And you go, no, either you've got what you need or you don't have what you need. And by and large, people are going through, either they have the cards and they're punching in the button and they're getting in one turnstile, or it goes in the other. The whole point of the turnstile is you can only go in one direction, forward. It's just that one requires special access and the other doesn't. And perhaps the purpose of this lady who's there is just to make sure that you don't gum up the works. And that's important. It's not that she's mean, but she's got a job to do, and she's going to do it. So there's this one man going through. You know, I don't know if age has any relevance, so we don't really worry too much about his age. And he's come to this place, and he's looking. Everybody else seems to kind of know what's going on, or with just a little, even a very, very little interaction with the actual woman, who seems to be there kind of helping if you're confused. What can be more confusing than death as a big state change? And for people who kind of felt like they had things kind of squared away on Earth, like they had kind of worked things out and said, I really know what I'm doing down here, you know, and then it's like, this isn't what I'm accustomed to. Okay. But there's this fella, and he's been hanging back and not going through a thing, and he's seen people proceed through one turnstile or the other. And he's confused because it seems like better people, or people who perceive to know what's going on, or on some level seem to be in better shape in this situation, all have their cards and they all swipe through and put in their code, and off they go in what appears to be the more favored turnstile. And he's checking his pockets, what pockets there are. I don't think there's any pockets. Who knows? Anyway, he doesn't have a card. And he's a little perturbed because he's getting kind of a sense for this. Most of the people aren't even there long enough to get a sense for him, because it's not terribly important. Obviously, some people could go one way and the rest go another. And the turnstile is just there to make sure you can't circle back and go someplace else. But that only a certain kind of person can go one way. Anyway, so he goes up to this lady and he goes, says, I'm confused. He says, I really want to go through the nice turnstile, but it looks like you need a card, you need to punch in a code. where do I get my card? Where do I get my code? She goes, oh, hang on. She types in some buttons. I don't remember if she really asks his name. But she can, you know. Well, what's your name? Give me some information about you. Okay. Puts it in there. You know, apparently things can get a little bit muddled. You know, mistakes maybe can be made, I suppose. I don't want to credit God with it. Anyway, so she goes, no, your social code through turnstile 2, according to this. And he goes, well, hey, I mean, what's the whole deal here? And she says, baptism. He goes, baptism? Yeah. He says, I got baptized when I was a kid. And she said, oh, yeah? And he says, it doesn't show here. And he goes, well, maybe your records are wrong. And she goes, maybe. She goes, frankly, if you go through that turnstile, it'll all get, you know, if there's been a mistake made, it'll get sorted out by down the road. I just really need people to just kind of keep processing people. There's a lot of people to take care of on this shift. I don't have any record of you being baptized. Sorry. And he goes, well, wait a minute, I was baptized by old Pastor Phil over there. And she goes, well, okay, well, let's look at Pastor Phil. And she goes, no, he's not on the list either. He wasn't really authorized to be baptizing people. And he goes, well, I just figured that since he was a pastor and all that, that was just kind of a thing, you know? And that was what was needed, and it was okay. Efficacious. He seemed like a really nice guy. I enjoyed him. She goes, well, he's not here. He wasn't authorized. He's not baptized either, according to this. And so he certainly wasn't authorized to baptize him. And they're like, he's like, oh, I'm confused. And it's like, well, don't get too, you know. I said, it's okay. He says, you just go through the other one. If you don't have your stuff, go through the other one. And you'll have opportunities later to work out these issues. And he was like, no, I think I really deserve to go through the other turnstile. And she said, Do you have your card? And he says, no. And you go, then he can't get through that turnstile. Do you know your code? You know, even if you had your card, do you know your code? No. Then you really need to go through this turnstile, the other one. He goes, but I don't, I've seen the people that are going through that turnstile. I'm not sure I want to be with that group. I'd rather be with those people. Those people seem to have it together. Those people seem to be of a finer sort, and I think I deserve to be with them. And she goes, we're not going to have a problem here, are we? Have faith that if you go through the other gate and you're supposed to be someplace else, that we'll work it out. There's going to be somebody on the other side of that gate to help you with the trouble you're having. You have to come with your card. If you don't have your card with you, then you can't come through. And that card would have that card if you had been baptized by somebody who is authorized to baptize people. So he's like, you know, and you go, nothing I can do about it. All I can do is help get you through these turnstiles, whichever one you're supposed to be using. You don't have the stuff to go through the other one. He says, well, can't I just... Can't somebody just let me through? And she's like, no, it's not how it works. And she finally had to hit kind of a panic button, and a couple of burly fellas, which you do not screw with, came and helped him through turnstile number two, going to prison. And, you know, because he was gumming up the works, you know. People need to go through. You know, this is about being orderly, getting through. And the whole thing is about you need to get baptism by somebody who's authorized to baptize. And that's accepted. And it really ends up being kind of a computer database-ish sort of thing. If you're in it, you've got it, you can go. And if you're not in it, you can't. You just can't go the other way. And it just brings up yet again the centrality of this. Christ spoke of it. He said, hey, if you're baptized, you get to go to the good place, you know, my Father's kingdom. If you're not, you can't. You're damned. You're stuck. You just can't go. You go to someplace else. And, you know, hell's not described very well. Now, my concept of it, I think it's correct, is that it's not a permanent state unless you've really gone down the bad slope. You know, Hitler may have been one of the bad guys that doesn't get to go to someplace nice. I don't know. See, the criteria isn't how bad you are. It's about your, I don't even know how I would describe it. I don't know if it's honesty. The biggest crime is to deny the Holy Ghost once you have experienced it. So it tends to be kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a bizarre situation that would get you into really nasty places. But it seems to be that if you've gained a certain amount of knowledge, if you've walked down a certain road far enough, that's when you get into the most trouble. If you've never really followed God much at all, you're going to go to a nice place, a better place than this, and it's okay. It's a fine place. But that's basically it, you know. That's where you go. It's kind of like I hate to bring up that I'm a little skeptical about the Apollo program. I think that mankind is reasonably earthbound. Now, it may include the moon as well. as part of Earth, so going back and forth to the moon is great. I have more faith in the Van Allen belts than I do in everybody saying that we were able to get to the moon, and the conspiracy theories that say it was all kind of a Hollywood setup. That we were just trying to get ahead of the Russians. I've read some stuff, and I don't know how much stock you can put in it, but it was that as we tried to send animals into space, you know, outside of the Earth's orbit, if you tried to go through the Van Allen belts, for instance, or whatever else is out there, that they all came back dead. And then suddenly all the animal testing just kind of stopped. We stopped doing it. Of course, you can always say, well, we stopped doing it because we figured out that it was fine and you were going to be okay. And, it was like, well, huh. Who has taken the mice or the dog or the cat or the Reese's monkey or something, and send it to Mars? We plan on sending people to Mars. And you're going, can we really do that? Is that okay? Is there not some weird wave or particle that will kill us if we try to leave? Anyway, I think that we're somewhat stuck on whatever planet that we are put on. We have all been on this world the whole time. You know, our mortal existence is on this planet. And I get the impression from scripture and from what I've read and from what I've taught that really, honestly, that seems consistent with the record. Going to other planets is just not in the cards for this state of existence, and that this is something that we should not get weird about. Always trying to do something. There's plenty of stuff to learn. This whole existence here is tied to this planet. I'm not saying we cannot possibly do it, it's impossible, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was that way, and that it was for primarily political reasons why we said that we went to the moon, or we did go to the moon, but that's about as far as we're ever going to get. And that things like the Van Allen belts, which is just this big thing outside of the Earth that kind of shields us from the harshness of space. And we should be kind of grateful for it, broaching it. Probably isn't too smart. Anyway, so I'm people always want to escape, I think. People want some exemptions. People see how things are going here and they don't want to, they don't want to go here. And you go, yeah, understandable, but isn't how you solve your problems is by escaping. Well, sometimes it is. Anyway, yeah. I don't know if it comes back to the whole exemption thing. People wanting a different sort of experience, a different sort of life. Stay away from some people. Stay close to others. Think more highly of themselves than they want. The people who, I'm sorry, there's people like a church who talk about, oh, you will get to go to the place you really want to go to. You know, and you're going, I'm not saying that everybody's this way, but I think a lot of people are. They always want better than what they probably deserve. And I think Heavenly Father has already made some accommodation for that in saying that people who have figured out how this planet works pretty good and have taken great advantage of it, there's something to be said for that, and I think there's a kind of a reward for it. That you're going to go to some place better. Now, you may be very unhappy to see that almost everybody goes to that better place, and all of the amazing, you know, all of the cunningness, all of the ability to figure out how to manipulate things in your favor really doesn't pay off ultimately, you know. That might be a little disturbing, and that is the point in the favor of, hey, you want to give me this reward, but I think I deserve better. Kind of like the guy in this little thing going on. This little story. You could call it a parable if you want to, if that makes you feel better. The kingdom of heaven is like the turnstiles. Actually, that's kind of the state after death is like this. And you can't stay there. You got to keep going. You go down one road or the other. It just really ends up being like that. And, wow. So I thought I might do an essay about that. You know, there's something that needs to fill up the blog, you know. The blog has kind of become the religious stuff. Not that it always has been, it just became that, and I tend to have the website for developing other things. It's more of my development platform, the wiki, which is a good thing for development. Lets you throw things up there easy, doesn't make it too rough, and everything works okay. Oh. Anyway, so, oh, I tried out this $9.99 market up here, kind of a grocery store. But let me tell you, it is definitely Oriental, and you know, it's just got stuff that comes more from the Orient. It caters to that. That sensibility, to that culture, that background. And I ended up only buying green beans. I've been saying that I needed to just do some green beans. And here it is right there. There it is. And, you know, anyway. So I said, I was thinking of it because it was a great place to go. I really have to kind of go a little bit out of the way to do some grocery shopping to make sure that I have food sufficient for the day. I think I went a little bit overboard this time around. There was a whole bunch of things that I could stretch out that cost like $2 and almost can't resist the fact that you know, $2 isn't very much. Get five things for $2, that's $10. I've got more money in my pocket than that. So I come home with good stuff. Good stuff. So, but I had too much, and I'm still working through it. Jalapeno rolls, or green chili rolls, I bet, more likely. A little milder than jalapenos, for instance. Anyway, and always get carrot, celery. I haven't gotten to the point. I used to have... I used to do zucchini squash with my potatoes at lunch, and I have not yet gotten back to that. I've got the potatoes, but I haven't done the squash. Nothing stopped me except the fact that knives. Of course, it doesn't mean much. Dinner knives or just this thing.
Okay. Because my man Walker, you go, sir.
Thank you. So, just went through the gate. Oh boy, they have these bumps to try to keep going slow. I think to give, just because they don't want evil people ramming through, at high speed just can't do it because they've got speed bumps to stop you from going through fast. You can only go slow. I don't know if that's supposed to help the security police nab you, but they have the same problem. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Thinking about doing this essay about the centrality of getting baptized by the right authority, because I do think it really is a distinguisher between one state and another. Because this state in the middle really is an opportunity to kind of qualify for the best you can get. Now this is all, you know, the whole state of paradise and prison after the fact is after the fact. And everybody talks about, you know, deathbed repentance. Repentance even up there. I don't know if you can repent up there. But you can get the things that you need. You can get that card and that code so that you can go into better places. I always kind of pictured that maybe it wasn't that you already had the card and the code. Maybe it wasn't like that, but it was definitely, there was a person that at a desk that kind of looked you up and made sure that you had the proper credentials. You know, this way, that way, go this way, go that way. And it may have even had kind of a cattle chute sort of thing, kind of a chunk, you know, something that forced you to go one way or the other. It was just a question of you have to go forward. And this situation does it for you. Little scraping of the skin at the nape of your neck, the retinal scan, something that you really can't screw with. And because you didn't know ahead of time, that's the way it worked. You know, you really can't game the system very readily. I guess that's what we're really going on about, is that There's something sincere about that. And, you know, you can have all the questions you want to, but it really doesn't matter. You know, he really wants that thing up there to go in his favor rather than somebody else's. You know, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And, it's normally set to go the way that he wasn't excited about going. And they go, yeah, so? Why? Well, I should go that way. And they go, yeah, you know, we can work that out later. You know, for people who weren't able to get the things that they needed, you know, getting baptized by the right authority is still very much available. Now, you can't all of a sudden just not make a life. It seems like, almost like just reading, if somebody's destined for the celestial kingdom, you can do things in the afterlife to get yourself to the terrestrial kingdom, which is nicer, better. I remember that movie, Defending Your Life, Albert Brooks, about the afterlife. And Julia, was at a really nice hotel, and he was at a very, very kind of, it was a hotel, it was okay. She got chocolate swans on her pillow, and, oops, I'm going the wrong way. Gosh, darn it. I'm going to break some rules. I'm a tricky person. Okay, I'm going to go over here. Sorry. I'm a real jerk. Alrighty, here we go. I'm going to go right here. I don't care if I'm in the second lane or the third. Doesn't bother me. The walk's not a big deal. Okay. Oop. Okay. So, yeah. And it was just like, so, you know, is that the way your afterlife is? Anyway. So, I got to go. It's time to go to work. And talk to you later.